Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia. Welcome to another episode of The Plumb Line. How do we measure up? This is Plumb Line 12, amen, and we are finishing up with the Ten Commandments. Amen. The study that we have been commencing upon in our Plumb Line series, we are on commandment number 10 today. Amen. If you have not been, amen, a part of the Plumb Line series, please go back to the archives. There is a lot of important information, actually pertinent information that is needed for the body of Christ, because this season and this time and of the history of mankind, it is so important that we have an intimate relationship with the Lord. And that means that we must adhere to his standards of holiness. Amen. Every boundary, every law that he has committed, everything that he has asked for us has been for our safety. Amen. We have a common adversary, Satan himself, the one that he thrust out of the heavens, amen, like lightning, Jesus said. And that is our common enemy. And he is in the midst, amen, to steal, kill, and destroy. And the standards of God, amen, withhold his power, withhold, amen, his thrust to destroy us. Amen. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And he has given us authority to use his name in the name of Yeshua, Jesus. Demons have to flee. Amen. His name gives us the authority over all the works of the enemy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. But we must be, amen, we must be within his holy standard. It is so important. And you will find that as you adhere to the holy standards of the Lord, that he will bless your life immeasurably. Glory to God. There is a blessing in obedience. There's a blessing in willingness. There is a blessing in going through the trouble with God. There is a blessing. Amen. Because life happens to everybody, sinner and saint. Life happens to everyone. But when we go through with the Lord, we have the promises of the Lord that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. Glory to God. We have the promise of the Lord, amen, that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and nothing can pluck us out of his hand. We have the promise of the Lord. Glory to God. But if we are outside of the ark of safety, no longer do those promises belong to us. Amen. I'm not forfeiting my promise. I'm not forfeiting the promises of God. Amen. The promises that the Lord has given to us, the word that says no, are yes and amen. Every promise in the book is ours. Amen. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in high places, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. And we need to remember that when the devil tries to do his thing, tries to bamboozle, tries to work his wickedness in our lives, that in the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. In the name of Jesus, amen, we can break off the wickedness of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, amen, we are healed. We are blessed. We are delivered in the name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you as humbly as we know how, giving you thanks and giving you praise, O God. Lord, we honor you as we come into your presence this evening, O God, recognizing that you and you alone are God, recognizing that you are the great I am, the self-existent one, Yahweh, recognizing that you are our provider, our keeper, our strength, our source, recognizing that you and you alone brought salvation with your mighty hand, and we are delivered, oh, by your power. Oh God, we exist because you are compassionate and gracious toward us, Lord, and we honor you, oh my God, above everything. We give you all of the glory, the praise, and the honor. Lord, we all came in this world with nothing. Not one beat of our heart or synapse of our brain are we able to control. But you, oh God, are gracious to us. And with every day, we have another opportunity to get closer to you. We have another opportunity, amen, to move in heavenly places, Lord God, to understand what your will is for our lives. Father, open up our hearts and our minds even right now, Lord God, and help us to see and to know. Lord, even as we humble ourselves in your presence right now, we ask you, Lord, to forgive us for sins of omission and commission. Forgive us, Lord God, the sins of our fathers, Lord God, even back down through Adam. Cleanse our bloodline and wash us from every sin and every iniquity, Lord God. Wash us, Lord God, from every entanglement and every bondage. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we confess, Lord God, that we have fallen out of our place from time to time, Lord, and we need a Savior, oh God. Oh Lord, we mortify our flesh before you, Lord God, and we decree the death of the wickedness of the flesh even right now, that your spirit might come more and more alive within us, Lord, that your light, Lord God, overcome every darkness, Lord God, that has tried to descend upon us, Lord God, and bring us forth, Lord God, into your holy places, that we might see and know you, Lord God, that we might commune with your spirit, and Lord, that we might be even as you said David was, a servant after the heart of God. Oh, Father God, oh, Lord, we give you glory today, honor and praise. Help us, oh, God, to be that you destined that we be from the very beginning, even right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we give all glory, praise, and honor. Amen, amen, amen. Again, we are finishing out our study of the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Statements, as our Jewish brethren call it. Amen. The Tenth Commandment is in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, and I'm reading from the King James Version. And it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The Message Bible says it this way: no lusting after your neighbor's house or wife or servant or maid or ox or donkey. Don't set your heart on anything that is your neighbor's. The bottom line, do not covet. That Hebrew word translated as covet is hamad, and it means inordinate desire to take pleasure in, to lust after. Colossians 3 and 5 in the ESV says, to put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Let me give you some more scriptures, and this is for your study. Amen. As I have said several times before, amen, take these scriptures back, amen, in your time of study. Look them up. Talk to the Lord about them. Get an understanding. But you and Yahweh, you and the Spirit of the Lord, speak to God about the things that you hear and the things that you are being taught, even the things that your pastor and your leaders are teaching you. Go before God with every word that you are given so that you will get an understanding. We are working at our own salvation with fear and with trembling. Each of us will go before the Lord for ourselves. So we're the ones. Each of us individually has to be persuaded, amen, and you don't get persuaded by just listening to whoever God has stood before you, and leaders are important. The Lord has called them into that place to usher you into his presence. That's what they're for, but you still have to go to the Lord, amen, for yourself. That's what the leader is doing, ushering you into the presence of God. You are not to worship the leader. You are not to idolize the leader. The leader is there to usher you into the presence of God. The leader is there to push you into the place that the Lord has shown them you are to be. Amen. So they're pushing you into the presence of God so that your destiny, your assignment will be fulfilled that God has placed in you. Amen. The scriptures I want to give you for background about these our command, what we're talking about, thou shalt not covet, is 1 Timothy 6 and 10, 12 verses 15 through 21, Hebrew 13 and 5, 1 John 2, 15 through 17, James 4 and 2, Ephesians 5 and 3, Matthew 6, verse 24, and Romans 13 and 9. And, of course, I'm going to give you a few scriptures as well. So Ephesians 5 and 5 of the ESV, it says, for you may be sure of this, everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Both Colossians and Ephesians reiterate that covetousness is idolatry. The New Oxford American Dictionary defines covetous as having or showing a great desire to possess something belonging to someone else. Covetousness is idolatry. Did you notice the 10th commandment? It points back to the first commandment. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. That inordinate desire for something other than a pure and holy relationship with God violates his standard and aligns us with the curses that are written in Deuteronomy. Don't let yourself violate these words, amen. Don't allow the enemy to bamboozle you into wanting something that someone else has so bad that you will violate the other, amen, commandments in order to possess it. God is true to his words, and all violators will be judged, even those of the household of faith. Thou shalt not covet. I mean, even the competition and the comparisons, amen, when we desire someone else's anointing, not realizing the trials and tribulations, the sufferings that they had to go through in order to be in the place that they are positioned in order to get the promotions that they got. They had to die to their flesh, and that death of the flesh was painful for them. People don't even recognize that, and they actually try to push people out of their positions because they're so covetous, and so and they are idolaters because they have become worshipers of this other person, of one of their fellow sisters or brothers, desiring, amen, with an evil desire to have what they have, not recognizing what they had to suffer in order to get it. My God, don't desire anything that belongs to someone else so much that you are prompted to possess it because of your obsession. The evils of covetousness will cause you to steal, kill, commit adultery, lie, and submit to the gods of this world. Covetousness will actually cause you to violate every single one of the commandments of God. Ask King David. He saw the wife of his friend bathing, and rather than look away, he became obsessed with her beauty and determined to possess her as his own. He forgot he was a servant of the Most High God. He forgot he was God's anointed king to his people and was to be an example to them. All he knew in that moment was Bathsheba must be his. And so he summoned her, and he took her, and she became pregnant due to his covetous, adulterous affair. King David, recognizing for sure his evil predicament, tried to cover up his sin. And so he called his friend Uriah to come home from the battle that was being waged so that he would sleep with his wife in order to deceive everyone into believing the child Bathsheba was carrying was that of Uriah instead of King David. Now his covetous adultery has manifested further into deceitful lies. And so Uriah came home, And King David ordered that she go home and enjoy his wife. But Uriah was a dedicated, faithful soldier who was very considerate of his men, believing if they could not have such pleasure, neither should he. And so Uriah did not go in to his wife. David's lie didn't work. So he gave Uriah a letter to give to his captain that was sealed with his decree. And when the captain read it, it said to send Uriah to the hottest part of the war and leave him there. So now David's covetousness had become adultery, lies, deceit, betrayal, and murder. All because came obsessed with something that didn't belong to him. And he yielded to that ungodly, unholy desire that sucked him down its evil path. Uriah, King David's faithful friend, the husband of Bathsheba, was dead. David married Bathsheba, and the prophet of the Lord came to David with the word of the Lord, letting David know that he did not get by with this evil. You see, this evil did indeed stink in the nostrils of God, and it grieved the heart of God. David now had to reap the evil he planted. And the prophet let him know the child would not survive. David did repent. He rent his clothes, he fasted, he prayed, repenting before God in hopes he would spare the child's life, but he would not. The child died just as the Lord humbled himself before God and turned his heart back again to the Lord. And the Lord did bless him with another child, Solomon, who grew up to be the wisest of all men and anointed him to build a house unto the Lord. David came to himself and recognized he sinned against God, and he changed his mind. He did repent. Amen. Both those words in Hebrew, teshuvah, which means to return. Amen. He returned to God. And the word metanoia in the Greek, he changed his mind. And he did. He turned and he did repent. For he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Oh, my God. And renew a right spirit within me. Take not your Holy Spirit away from me, God. David repented in the sight of God. And those of us that have found ourselves in a covetous downfall, a covetous spiral, because it will spiral into every imaginable evil. Covetousness does. It's time to repent and turn. It's time to turn and repent. God will deliver you from evil. Don't wait. Repent so that he will recover you out of the spiral. He will recover you out of the fall. But before you go as far as David did to possess that was not his to possess, do not covet. David was forgiven, but he was not without consequences. Let's avoid the consequences. It is never worth it, not even for a moment. Not even for a moment. It's never worth it to lose right standing with God. We are in a season and in a time that the Lord is soon to come, and we don't know when that time will be. It's not worth it to take your eyes off of God and desire something that never belonged to you in the first place, when you can ask the Lord and he will show you those things that he has set and laid aside just for you, because he does things that are laid aside just for you, but not someone else's. Those are the things God has for them. But God has something special laid up just for you. Thou shalt not covet anything that belongs to another. Amen. This is our covenant today. Amen. This is our plumb line teaching for today. God bless you. God keep you. And God anoint you. Amen. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Take the time, amen, to talk to the Lord today, to talk to him about all the things that have bothered you, even the things that you do desire, even if those desires are inordinate, even if that you desire things that do not belong to you. It's time to talk to the Lord about those things. Confess those things before him. Let him heal you and deliver you out of that evil bent. It is a trick of the enemy. He wants to destroy your destiny, and the Lord wants to build it up. Let God do it. Amen. He wants to bring you into heavenly places. He wants to show you things that you've never seen. He wants to bless you in ways that are unimaginable to our eyes. Amen. The word of the Lord lets us know that when we talk to the Lord, when we ask him, that he is faithful, glory to God, and he does hear us. And he will give us exceedingly and abundantly above those things that we ask or even know how to imagine. God has something greater than even that you desire. You don't need to desire somebody else's. What he has for you is great. Get yours. Glory to God and be blessed of the Lord. God bless you. Amen, amen. Call upon the name of the Lord. While he may be found, he is waiting for you to call upon his name. He's waiting for you to sup with him. He is waiting, amen, to hear your voice crying out to him. And listen for his response, because he will respond. God bless you. Amen.